Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, 2 hours, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you can't stick with us the entire 2 hours, I hope you'll look us up online at livewithpastoral.com, where you'll get a chance later on to listen to the part that you didn't stay up for. And hopefully we'll make it worth your while to stay up or to listen to it later. But we've got a program plan. We've got a guest that's going to be joining us here momentarily. And we're going to be talking about the governor's State of the State address down in Columbus this past Tuesday. And there's other things that are happening. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program. And Father, again, we think of the things that are happening in the world today, the massive earthquake that took place here this evening in Turkey, and then, of course, the train derailment out near East Palestine, Ohio. And then we just pray that you would watch over people that are involved in those situations. And again, help us, Lord, to point people to Christ that are searching and to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you that we can look to you in all these things. And we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet in Richfield, Ohio. And we'd love to have you come out and visit us. You can find out more about us. There's going to be information during the program. We got some ad time at the bottom of the hour here in about half hour and different times and at the end of the program, of course. But you can always go online to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll be able to not only find out more about me and the radio program and listen to past programs that we have there available. You can read a variety of articles and things that I have on there. And there's some other materials and all that. I think it'll be a blessing to you. And you can also link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you can learn more about us and our service schedule and the things that we have going on there. So we certainly invite you to come out and visit us. But just want to hit a couple of things here as we get started with the program this evening and to let you know that we have our special guest, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, who will be joining us here this evening. And again, just to let you know, there's been a major earthquake, 7.8, Chris and I might talk about that just a little bit too, in Turkey, and they're searching the rubble and all for people. And then I had just seen also that in East Palestine, Ohio, not too terribly far from here, just east of here, headed towards Pittsburgh, near the Pennsylvania border, there was a train that overturned, and I guess there's a tank, a chlorine tank, that's evacuating. There's a large fire, looking at some pictures online, and the chlorine, of course, leaking out, mandatory evacuation. I remember when my wife and I were in the Samoan Islands as missionaries, there was a chlorine station along the water system there out in one part of the island where a chlorine tank exploded, and it must have been a 50-foot diameter sort of area, maybe a little less than that, but it was just every piece of vegetation in that area where the chlorine gas cloud billowed out was completely bleached. Everything was there, all the leaves, the blades of grass, but everything was gray and white, no green whatsoever. It was completely bleached, one of the most unusual things I've ever seen. And so this is not something to be messed with here. So pray for the people that are in that area as well. And, of course, as we're looking at what's happening over in Turkey, we'll maybe get some more information on that as the program goes on. But we've got Chris Long, who is waiting for us now. And, Chris, welcome to the program tonight.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. Good to be with you.
Well, I'm glad to have you with us, and actually thank you for the heads up when we were talking earlier about the earthquake in Turkey. And, you know, it's something. I've been through a 6.8 magnitude earthquake, and I believe we were talking. You said this is a 7.8, which would be 10 times greater than what I went through. It's just hard to imagine the power in seeing some of the pictures online, the fires and just the devastation, the debris that's going on there, isn't it?
It is. These are the initial reports that were actually on some news agencies. The major news agencies are just trying to catch up at this point. Obviously, there'll be more in the morning. It is now on Fox News. 7.8 magnitude earthquake strikes Turkey, leaving devastating trail of destruction in its wake. So there's collapsed buildings, obviously housing units. We need to pray for the people and those, first responders trying to get to people trapped in the debris, and understand that it was down in Beirut, Lebanon, as well, was rocked. So this was a very big earthquake. The likes of which we won't know until the morning, it looks like.
Right, and there'll probably be revisions on the magnitude of the earthquake, and certainly in daylight more images will be available to see what's going on. And this just happened within, just about an hour or two ago?
Yeah, that's right. It just happened within the last hour, so hour and a half. So, you know, again, it's... we have 7/24 news service now, as you know, Pastor, and it's like, as the scripture says, earthquakes in diverse places. And one of the things that's happening as a geologic wonder, actually, I was reading an article just in the last 10 days where it says that the Earth's molten core is changing. First of all, it's pausing, it rotates.
Mm-hmm.
Not always in the same direction that the Earth is rotating.
Right.
It has its own rotation, and it actually is paused. It's stalling, and it's about to reverse course. And it says that it does this every 60 to 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my mind went immediately, and I thought, well, I wonder if it has a geological response to that, like with earthquakes or volcanoes, that kind of thing. So one has to wonder, what exactly might be in store now that the Earth's molten core, and it hasn't happened, that's my lifetime. I'm
right.
70 years old, but, maybe next 10
well,
years. But
yeah, and but, the mass of the molten rock and everything and changing movement and everything, if anybody's ever had like a bucket of water and whirling it around, and then when you stop moving the bucket, you can feel the water inside still trying to whirl and push the bucket around. So, you do wonder if it could have something to do with this. Also, Chris, I was going to ask if you're on a speakerphone, because you're kind of coming in kind of choppy here for us. But
okay, how does that sound?
Oh, much, better? much better. We can hear you a lot clearer now. So thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
you know,
what I was going to say is that just one thing, we just need to be praying for the people in Turkey, obviously, and they're going to be digging people out for days to come at this point.
Yeah, so again, this is breaking story that's out there. It's just coming across the news services, and you'll be seeing some of it probably on the 11 o'clock news tonight. They'll have something, and people can find out a lot more probably tomorrow morning when we know more. But obviously, that wasn't the reason that asked you to be on the program with us tonight. There's other things that are happening, and of course, we don't want to downplay the seriousness of what's going on with these things, these natural disasters, but we're facing some disasters of a different sort closer to home down in our state capital, and there's some good things that are happening as well here and there, but there's also some very troubling things. But had an opportunity to join you this past Tuesday down at the Ohio State House for Governor DeWine's State of the State address to the combined General Assembly of the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate. And certainly my thanks goes out to Representative Bill Romer, who's a representative for us there in Summit County, where I'm at, who and his aide, Robert, who enabled me to get a floor pass to join you and Pastor John Coates on the floor for the governor's address. And quite a big do, wasn't it?
That's right. It was the governor's annual State of the State address. Actually, we had not been to a personal State of the State address in a few years. A couple reasons for that. Over the years, we, as the director of the Ohio Christian Alliance, I've made a habit of going to these. It's important to meet with legislators to hear what the governor has to say. I like to do that in person at times. Of course, you can always view online as well when it's not convenient. In the last few years, of course, with COVID, there was an in-person delivery of the State of the State that was done virtually. And then, so this was one of the first times back, so we thought we'd take the opportunity. And, of course, we just came out of the midterm elections. The Republicans did very well in the state of Ohio. They swept the statewide. The governor's race, Mr. DeWine, won a second term. And the Ohio House elected 67 Republicans. There's 100 House seats and then a large majority in the Ohio Senate as well. So the Republicans did very well in Ohio. However, something happened when they went ahead and voted for the speaker. And there was a contested race between Derek Marin and a gentleman by the name of Jason Stevens. And in caucus, Mr. Stevens lost that vote to Derek Marin, who is a Christian conservative. Actually, his father is a Baptist pastor for many years in Northwest Ohio. Unfortunately, he passed away in December. Derek's father, a Baptist pastor, passed away in December. In fact, he was with him in hospice all during the month of December. But in November, right after the election, the caucus, the Republican caucus, holds a vote as to who will be speaker in the next term. That vote was carried by Derek Marin. He's a conservative. He would have passed a lot of pro-life, pro-family legislation. But something happened during December when Derek was busy with his father in hospice and at his father's bedside, basically his deathbed, because he died on December 28th. Mr. Stevens then began a coup and basically a betrayal of the House Republicans, and he got 22 members to join him when Derek had 45. He got 22 to join him, and then he made some kind of deal with the 32 Democrats. Now, this is unprecedented, Pastor Al. I've been doing this for over 20 years, and this doesn't happen. Somebody will say, well, that happened with Larry Householder. No, he did get some Democrat vote, but it was a majority of Republicans. And also, they did not have a preliminary vote in caucus. So this was literally a betrayal of the Republican caucus to go behind Derek Marin's back. So it was really a dastardly deed. And so it shocked everybody. And we'll actually have that on our website if people want to see the information at Ohio Christian Alliance. And by the way, we are having some difficulty we just discovered in the last few days when they're putting some kind of alert up that the website's not safe. Let me tell you that it is. Looks like there's some kind of certificate that they want us to buy, certification or something, in addition to what we already have through GoDaddy, which the website is secure, which we'll do in the next day or two. So still go to the Ohio Christian Alliance. You may not have any difficulty at all, but it's ohioca.org or Ohio Christian Alliance. You'll see that information. But so something happened when we were down there on Tuesday with the State of the State address. The governor delivered his annual State of the State, but he did outline a large expansion of school choice when it's currently at 250% above the poverty level. It's like an economic base of those who would be able to get a school voucher. What is that? Well, you'd be able to take that for your student to go a Christian school, private school, or a public school of your choice. Now he's raising it to 400% above the poverty level. So we're talking about a major increase in school choice in the state of Ohio. That we'll see how that plays out with a speaker that is really beholden to the Democrats, because it was all of the 32 Democrats voted for this guy. For all intents and purposes, you'd say he's a Democratic Speaker of the House with a Republican majority. It's going to get real interesting here. Now, we want to see more pro-life legislation. We want to put a ban on what they're trying to do in public schools and transitioning gender of our students in elementary school. We want to save women's sports. Certainly the political left doesn't want to do that, but You know, moms and dads across Ohio are very concerned of what they see coming from the political left and the radical teachers union pushing this agenda. Where's this all coming from? Well, it's coming from the Biden administration. They're pushing it on the federal level. And folks, all you have to do is open up your eyes. I mean, when they have officers in dresses, that these are men in dresses, dressing as the opposite sex, and people in the administration, like the spokeswoman for the president, you know, she's an African American woman, but she has to say that I'm also an LGBTQ. I'm a lesbian. It's like, well, why does anybody need to know that? But see, they're pushing that agenda. Then they want to push it down into the schools through his education department. And that's what we understand, that they're pushing heavily with the federal dollars down into districts all across America to push a very radical LGBTQ agenda. Well, we can stop it in Ohio, but we can't if Mr. Stevens has made agreements with the Democrats and block all this legislation. That's what's happening, Pastor Al.
Yeah, and you pointed out the proposal that the governor had of making this money available, that parents can take their children from underperforming schools, or schools perhaps where, and not just merely underperforming, but perhaps it's just not a safe environment for the children, which unfortunately is the case with some of our inner city schools. And then they would have the ability, I believe, and you correct me if I'm wrong, the money would follow the student, right?
That is correct. And
yes.
If you go to a private school,
yes.
Christian school, yep.
Exactly. And many of the Democrats, of course, are totally against the people, the common people, having this choice while they themselves are putting their children in private schools. And so this would, I think, directly impact our children for good, you know, for the good. In that parents that don't have the resources now may be able to move their children into, as you said, a religious school, a private school, a charter school, or perhaps even another district, another public school district that performs better, a safer environment. And in a sense, what it does, not only giving parents choice in the education of their children, but it also forces the schools to have to perform. Otherwise, they'll lose students, right?
Well, that's right. They'll have to listen to the concerns of parents. You know, what we've seen across the country where parents have been going to local school boards to address their concerns with school boards. But again, a lot of these liberals are very, bold and arrogant about their position of what they think. And it's kind of a It's a religion that's not according to our Christian religion, Pastor. They hoist up the LGBTQ flag, and that's what they want their students to swear allegiance to, and then they want to push critical race theory. We just saw a really good sting operation of an undercover videos that showed, you know, because they'll say, well, oh no, that's not happening. Here it was undercover and down there in
Cincinnati, wasn't it?
Cincinnati was one, and also in the greater Columbus area, another school district, where an undercover video where they had these teachers admitting, oh, yeah, we don't tell the teachers, but the parents, but we go ahead and teach it anyways. We just change the wording a little bit, but we are really socializing the children to a more liberal worldview. And they actually admitted on camera, but again, it's an undercover sting operation. So these things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, people are taking it to where, they're telling the truth and exposing the truth for what it is. So that we're not just crazies out here. That's that they try to make it. Oh, that you're just crazy. That we're not doing that. Of course, you're doing that. You just don't want us to call you out doing that.
So, right?
No, it's important that parents really get involved with their children's schooling and their grandchildren's schooling, and to know what's being taught in the local school. And unfortunately, in the classroom, there's really terrible things that are happening, even trying to sexualize our children at a very young age. It's a terrible thing, Pastor.
Well, and you mentioned about hoisting the LGBTQ flag, and that's not just merely figurative. I mean, we've seen things online where the teachers themselves quite proudly have posted video of their classroom saying, well, we have to do the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning. And so I have the children face this, and they'll show a rainbow flag. And so this is there. And as thinking about this, you know, the governor's proposal to allow parents to bring their children out of those environments into other environments, you can see where the left doesn't want that because they want these kids in those schools exposed to this agenda because they are recruiting and they are grooming our children across the state, across the nation. And it's a fight. It's a spiritual battle. Paul said to the Ephesians that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's what we're seeing. And this is where I think going down to Columbus, going down to the State House, being there during the State of the State address, meeting with representatives, meeting with senators, and not just meeting with them, but being seen down there for these people to see pastors, to see representatives of Ohio's Christians and churches present in the State House, it's all part of the spiritual battle we're involved in, isn't it?
It is, and we're so glad to have you with us, Pastor, as well as Pastor John Coates from Greater Columbus, and joining us and presenting framed copies of the Ten Commandments to legislators. One of the things that we've done as an organization over the years, this is our 20th year now, and we have actually presented over 250 members of the Ohio General Assembly over those years, as well as statewide office holders, governors, secretary of states, auditors, attorney generals, with framed copies of the Ten Commandments. And again, that's on our website, ohioca.org. It's a beautiful framed copy of the Ten Commandments that we present to legislators for hanging in their office. And we're being salt and light to really demonstrate that Christians will have their voice in government, and they proudly hang these on their walls. This is God's Ten Commandments. All law is based upon the moral code. And so, again, Christians need not to cower back, but we need to be involved in the public square, in our public government, by voting, registering to vote, casting votes, and then talking with our legislators and having influence in a very good and positive way.
Absolutely right. And, you know, the average Christian is probably not going to go out and run for public office, and that's understandable. It takes a special mindset to be able to do that, and it is nice to see that more Christians are, whether it's their local county offices or their local, town, city, village, township offices, or even their local school boards. We're seeing more and more people take up the challenge to run for school boards, where we as Christians have an opportunity to impact the culture around us for good, to represent God's values in there. The world has controlled these things long enough, and partly because Christians have sat on the sidelines, not wanting to dirty their hands with the political effort that it takes to get involved here. But I am encouraged seeing people who are stepping up to the plate, getting involved. And what do you think is happening in our state in regards to Christians getting involved?
Well, that's right. And, you know, we do thank the people that are willing to run for office. You have to run a campaign. You have to get out there, meet with your fellow citizens, and, take the podium and share about your platform, what you would like to see done, hear from your constituents, what their concerns are. Then if you win election, you're sworn into office to uphold the state constitution and to represent the people of the district. And then, of course, to serve in office, serve on committees, deliberate over legislation, stop the bad stuff from happening, and advance the good policy that will benefit the people of Ohio. That's why we always try to encourage people over the years. These meetings with them, with pastors, praying with them, presenting with a framed copy of the Ten Commandments, but keeping up words of encouragement to them as well. Being able to call their office or write them a letter, and at times warning them about legislation that they may think is going to benefit people, but actually has pitfalls and trouble with it, and actually might actually be a problem for parents and the you know, as far as parental rights and those kinds of things. So we're always on, or actually be an infringement on the church and religious liberty. So we always keep them informed about policy as much as we can. It takes a lot of work at the Ohio Christian Alliance to do that. Thankful for our volunteers to work with us and do some research, and those who call their representatives and their legislators, and letting their voice be heard so that they know that it's a grassroots movement across the state in all 88 counties, and that's what we've been doing over the years. We're celebrating our 32nd year as the Ohio Christian Alliance, first founded in 1991, and are continuing our public policy work to defend life and religious liberty. And so, Pastor, that's with God's grace, we continue.
And of course, we're talking with Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance here, and talking about what's happening down in the State House and across the state. And we've got just a little over 3 minutes before the break, and there's a couple things I was wanting to get to. If you can hold over the break, we'll bring them up. But I was going to say, as Christians are looking at what's happening, and what would you think would be maybe a couple of the biggest issues that God's people need to be aware of and make a matter of prayer, perhaps in the coming months, coming year here in the state of Ohio?
Well, that's right. So when we saw last June with the fall of Roe v. Wade and the Dobbs decision, the court basically sent the abortion policy back to the states. Here in Ohio, we had a heartbeat law as well as a 20-week ban, Down syndrome ban on abortion, a partial birth abortion ban, legislation that we passed over the years, parental rights legislation. But all that will be at risk if Planned Parenthood and the abortion activists get their way and they go to the ballot and they basically try to fool the people of Ohio with a ballot initiative. They could actually legalize abortion on demand in Ohio and putting it in our state constitution. That's why we're supporting a measure that would raise the threshold of passing a constitutional amendment to 60% in the state of Ohio. And if we do that, then it would be much more difficult for groups like them to put basically throw one past the Ohio voter. So pro-life Christians, we're going to need to have you engaged in the next number of months and the next year or so, as undoubtedly we'll be facing a ballot measure that will try to legalize abortion on demand in Ohio. We need to stop it.
Amen. And like I said, we need all the voices that we can get. We need to encourage Christians. If you're not registered to vote, we have an election, a primary election coming up in May. And it may not be in your district, your area. There may not be much on it this time around. But next year, we've got several things going on, a presidential election, a Senate election. And so we'll have the primary in March of next year, I believe, and there'll be quite a bit on the ballot. So God's people need to be registered to vote, and then you need to make the effort to get out and vote. And if somebody wants to know how to do that and not sure about that, what's the best thing they can do?
To register to vote?
Yes.
Well, again, you can go to the Secretary of State's website. And you can actually register to vote online, and that's very easy to do at the Secretary of State's website. And so that's important, because that's the number one thing we need to do is to be registered. You can't complain if you don't vote, and you can't vote unless you're registered. So we really do need to get God's people registered to vote.
And, you know, God's people represent a sleeping giant in this country. If half of the people out there who are, you know, listen to the program, were in church this morning and maybe this evening, would get out and vote, we would really make a difference, wouldn't we, Chris? Hey, you're listening you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got a break coming up. Chris, if you can hold on, we've got some exciting news about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and how one man made a difference there. So stay tuned. We've got an hour and a half to go yet, so stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. Our telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll be getting to our calls here a little bit later, but we're talking with Chris Long of the Ohio Christian Alliance right now, and just want to remind you that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And when you go there, you'll find a variety of the social media platforms that we're on. We're on Facebook, Gab, Getty, MeWe, Minds, Parler, Telegram, Truth Social, Twitter, and a number of other ones. You can find it all there at livewithpastoral.com. Listen to past programs there. Read some of the articles that I have there. And you can also link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the main sponsor of the program. And also, I just want to mention, too, that we are also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889. Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, and you can give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right, well, we're going to get back to our guest. Chris Long is with us tonight. We've been talking about what's going on at the Ohio State House, and Chris, in the last half hour, you're talking about, or we were talking about, the need for God's people to get involved, and I want you to update our listeners on an occasion decision where one man that I know of, and I think you know who I'm talking about, made a difference in Washington, D.C. that has the potential, should the Lord tarry, to influence generations to come. And we're talking about the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., and the D-Day Prayer Edition. What's the exciting news going on there right now, Chris?
Well, that's right, Pastor, and I want to thank you for your support over the years and the listeners who helped us with what was called the D-Day Prayer Project. In fact, the website is D-Day Prayer Project. If they go there, they'll get the update. And the exciting news is that the D-Day prayer has been completed in late December and is now open to the public. And it's been an 11-year journey from the time in which we received this inspiration from the Lord to have Congressman Bill Johnson and Senator Portman introduce the legislation in Washington, along with a lot of co-sponsors in the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, that became the World War II Memorial Prayer Act, S-1044, that passed in 2014, and then began the journey of the design, placement, and raising the funds for the enhancement of the Circle Remembrance and the adding of the D-Day Prayer. That's all 515 words of the D-Day Prayer, the prayer that FDR prayed with the nation on the evening of the D-Day landings here in America, but over 100 million people worldwide heard the president as he prayed, and it's the way in which he announced to the nation that the liberation of Europe was underway. And of course, we're talking about the D-Day landings of June 6, 1944. This is now a permanent addition in Washington on the Mall. It is actually, I love the way that they have titled it. They were originally going to put D-Day Prayer, June 6, 1944, in the design, but they changed that to read A Prayer for the Nation. And we really do like that, and that's what it is. This is a prayer for the nation. It's a gift to the nation, this prayer, and for people to come and to read the history of course, what was it at risk there against the tyranny, the Nazi tyranny, and, of course, the Empire of Japan as the world was at war. Here we are now, 80-some years later. We have lived in peace, world peace, most of this time. There's been conflict, but there hasn't been world war. And our nation has not been in a war like that in now over 80-some years, thanks to that greatest generation. Your father served, my father served, my father-in-law served in World War II, and, of course, they're all gone now. But there's still World War II veterans with us, and in fact, on Pearl Harbor Day of this year, we were down there at the World War II Memorial, and there was 11 World War II veterans from Austin, Texas, that flew in on an honor flight, and they were, listen to the ages, Pastor Al, 98 to 101.
Wow.
Okay? But they were all doing very well. I mean, these folks were very sharp of mind. And there was only a couple of them in a wheelchair. The rest of them were walking around on their own, okay? And so, and in fact, I got to meet one veteran. He flew a P-47 in the war. There was, of course, the P-51. Everyone remembers the Mustang, but there was a P-47, also a very skilled aircraft fighter. And he shot down an ME-262, one of the first jets that Germany produced in late 1944. This gentleman actually shot down one in December of that year, before going into 1945. And so it was a great honor to meet that gentleman, to be able to, be one of the first people to shoot down a fighter jet, right?
Right. And you think about it, it's all fighter jets now, but somebody had to be first.
Yeah, and he was using a prop plane. It wasn't the Mustang, but it was it was the P-47.
Amazing.
But anyways, to meet these great veterans, I met a lady who was a Navy wave. Well, what's that? Well, that was a gal that served in the U.S. Navy. She actually was in communications, which would be tantamount to intelligence as well,
right,
in the Pacific Theater, and she was actually receiving communiques that were coming in from the islands and from the battlefields in the Pacific into Pearl Harbor. And so a very important role. She's 101, Pastor Howell. her name was Rosie, and I got to meet her, shake her hand, and thank her for her service to our country. So, you know, it was just a great time. But anyways, all that to say, the D-Day prayer is there. It will be a lasting tribute to that greatest generation. And when people go to the Circle Remembrance, we'd like them to not just read the prayer, but we'd like them to pray for the nation currently. And, you know, when Sylvia and I had the opportunity a couple weeks ago to go down and see the prayer, as soon as it became open, the congressman let us know. His staff went over and said, hey, it's open. So the U.S. Park Service didn't make an announcement, nor the Friends or anybody. But so we made a beeline down to Washington on that Saturday after the Tuesday when it became open. And after taking some pictures and reading the prayer, we kind of sat back and watched as people just found their way over there. And some young people reading the prayer and families and all, and then began talking with them. And, you know, it's just really a blessing to see what it means to people to read the prayer and to thank us for our work in getting it there, and then to see how this is going to really impact a lot of people. So we're excited, and it's a great moment of satisfaction, as we have on our website, D-Day Prayer, mission accomplished.
Absolutely. And as I say, as you're talking about seeing these World War II veterans that were there, and what you're doing is you're connecting, you know, the history of these people who sacrificed so much. And of course, it wasn't just the ones that went off to war. I remember one time going through some of my grandmother's things after my dad had passed away, and he had a box of some stuff that belonged to my grandmother. And in it was one of my great uncle's, it was a folder or something, an envelope or something, and it was the World War II ration tickets, you know, to buy meat, to buy sugar, to buy gasoline. And the people on the home front that sacrificed in a way that today's generation would just couldn't imagine, the sacrifice that took place on the home front. Everything revolved around defeating the enemy. And the prayer connects that, I believe, from that generation to some of the younger people you were recounting on your website, and all about the teenage girl that read the prayer out loud. And you can see how it reached from that greatest generation to our youngest generation. And the tie with this prayer is the reminder that it's because of God, isn't it?
It really is. And it was touching to see Skylar. She was from Minnesota, and her parents, in fact, when she came up, she wanted to read the prayer aloud. And then she said, she thought she was interrupting us. I said, no, you go ahead. You're the reason why this prayer is here. It's to teach about our national history. And so she read and read it aloud. Then I talked to the family, and it was just great to meet with them, talk with them, and to see how much it meant to Skylar. You know, Pastor, that's a really great story, what you're talking about with the rationing tickets. I've actually never seen those, so I'll tell you what. I'll get together. I'm going to show you the Japanese yen that my dad got when he was on the first wave of occupation in Tokyo Harbor after the surrender, and you show me those ration tickets, because I've never seen one. I'd like to see them. So
I don't know that I actually have it. One of my siblings might have the box. I'm not 100% sure where it got off to. I have some stuff in my basement, some stuff in my garage, both from my dad's side of the family, my mom's side of the family, things that I've glanced at. And, you know, we get busy with life, and we lose track of our history, don't we? And projects like this, and that's why we have these memorials in Washington, D.C., and not just in Washington, D.C., but they're across the country. We have them right here, not far from where I'm at. You can go up to Cleveland in the public square, and you have, what is it, the Soldiers and Sailors Memorial. And isn't that from World War I?
You know, it's let's see, it has actually from the Civil War.
Okay.
And World War I. And then also from World War II. So
I think they added those in, but wasn't it built around after World War I, I was thinking, but maybe. But what I was getting at is we have these memorials, or down closer, down in Summit County, down the southern part of Summit County, little known, and I wish it was better known, and certainly underappreciated, the Ohio Veterans Memorial Park. It's down in the little village of Clinton, Ohio, right off from State Route 21. You can just go down if you're in the Cleveland area, just head right down 77. And when 77 and 21 split, just keep on going down 21. And when you get down near Clinton, there's signs that lead you into it. It's open. It's to the public. It's free. It's open 24/7. And as you look at these memorials, they connect us with the past, don't they? Remind us of the people, the men and women that God raised up for the sacrifices necessary to keep our freedom. Isn't that right?
It is. And, you know, there's the MAPS Museum, too, at
yes.
the Akron-Canton Airport. And it actually has a lot of it has aircraft. It has memorabilia from World War II and also Vietnam. And so I think people would really enjoy that museum as well. I know you haven't had a chance to get there yet, Pastor. We got to get you down there. And it actually is the headquarters for Crew 44. Well, what's that? Well, that's a Boy Scout troop that actually does reenactment of World War II soldiers. They were with us in Washington on Veterans Day when we celebrated the Prayers Edition. And these young men drill just like the real Army. And in fact, some of the men that are helping them were actually in the military themselves. And so they dressed like the era of World War II, and they're called Crew 1944, Venturing Crew 1944. And they do reenactments, and they go to a lot of different events like D-Day Conneaut and a different Memorial Day and Veterans Day events. But their headquarters is right there at the MAPS Museum. That's where they do all their training and do all their study. And so it's really, we have a lot of treasures right in our backyard, I agree with you. I want to read this from the letter we put out. You know, when we went down to see the prayer, of course, after 11 years of work, for the first time, really didn't know what we were going to think. And here's what I wrote. The day was getting late as we watched more and more people come to read the prayer. Didn't really know how I'd feel on this day after seeing the prayer for the first time after so many years of working on this project, wondering if it would ever get done. I thought about all the veterans who we met over the years who have since passed on, men who had encouraged us to keep going and get it done. Now I realize that it is in the quiet reading of this national prayer that the reader will come to understand that it was not by the strength of arms alone that the ultimate victory was won over the unholy forces of tyranny was secured for us, but rather our reliance upon Almighty God that secured for us a lasting peace, a peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen. Now this prayer will be there for generations to come as an educational tool, but also inspiration for the next generation. And of course, we're quoting there the later portion of the prayer. And if people have not had an opportunity to read the prayer, if you get a chance to go to Washington, make sure you go to the World War II Memorial, get over to the Circle of Remembrance just beyond the Atlantic Arch, and you'll see it says a prayer for the nation, and go and read for yourself with your friends and your family, and I think you'll find it to be very inspirational.
And I really do appreciate what you've done there. And I just a reminder to our listeners, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're talking with Chris Long, the Ohio Christian Alliance. And Chris, as we're talking about this, I was thinking, because, you know, when the World War II Memorial was built, and it is arguably one of the most beautiful memorials, I think, on the mall there. It's just fantastic. If somebody has not seen it and they have the opportunity to go there and to see it and to just take it in, it's very inspirational, very moving. And yet when it was built, no mention of God anywhere in it at all. And here God puts in one man's mind and heart a desire, a vision to accomplish something that, you know, the federal government basically resisted, because there was a time there where they were trying to eliminate mention of God on the public square. And I believe God raised up this burden, this vision that he put on your heart for this prayer as a reminder that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. And then I thought about that, and I thought, you know, we're facing the challenges that we talked about down in the State House in the last half hour, the first half of the program. And it's easy to be overwhelmed. It's easy to say, you know, one person can't make a difference. When everything's against you, when all officialdom is against you, one person can't make a difference. But when we remember, it's not God and I that's the majority. It's God that's the majority, whether I'm with them or not. And if I'll stick with him, like you stuck with him on this project, one person can overcome the bureaucracy and the government and accomplish something that gives a tribute to God. What do you think about that?
Well, that's right, Pastor. I think of Gideon, who God was speaking to him and raising him up during the time in which Israel was oppressed. And God called him mighty man of valor. Well, he was hiding at the time.
Yes, yes, a very humorous account when you think about it. Hiding from the Midianites, and he calls him, oh, mighty man of valor. He looks like anything but.
That's right. Well, God raised him up. And, you know, when we think of how God spoke to Samuel when he was just a boy, and God spoke to David when he was over the, the least of the brethren, as it were, in the man's eyes, but he was the one in which God chose and told Samuel to anoint because he's the next king of Israel.
Right.
So God does take, you know, the Bible says, despise not the day of small things, right? And it's not
Amen.
By might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so God does want to do great things through his people, but we got to be willing, and we've got to believe, to have faith and to have faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I so appreciate the message you have, Pastor Al, on this program, and people need to come to Christ. And I think that, there's a stirring out there. People realize the world's not right. We're living in a very dark time right now, and we're living in an evil time, and that people need to come on to Christ at this time. While the door is still open and while you can still get there with the light still on, because there's coming a night when no man can work. And so you want to be prepared. You don't want to be left out into the darkness at that time.
Absolutely. And that's why I said it's easy to get overwhelmed. But God is our refuge in a time of trouble. And if we will sit on the Lord's side, we can sit back. You had two points there that I wanted to reinforce. We have to be willing, and we have to have faith, believing that God will work. And I think when you put those two things together, it's amazing. Just looking at the D-Day prayer edition, for instance, it's amazing what the Lord can accomplish. And that gives me hope when we look at what's happening down in Columbus and elsewhere in our country. There's still hope, isn't there?
Well, that's right. The Bible says through faith and patience we inherit the promises. And, we need to be faithful to God, and he will be faithful to us. Even when we're faithless, he's faithful to us. We need to understand that God is good all the time, even when we can't see it, when things don't seem to be adding up, things don't make sense. And I know there's listeners right now, and they're just saying, you have no idea. I'm going through great depression right now. I'm going through great difficulty. Well, I would just encourage you, friend, to call upon the Lord Jesus. I would ask you to call upon God. He will listen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Right.
And you may be a Christian already, and you just need to be saved from some situations that you're in. God hears your prayer. He knows the cry of his saints. He knows his sheep know his voice. And so I would say, spend time with God in his word. Right, Pastor?
Oh, absolutely. And, we get in the course of our program here, and, of course, you're on 1220 as well with News in Focus, and I'll have you give that information here as well. And a lot of times we get caught up, and I'm guilty of this myself, we get caught up in the news of the day, we get caught up in the political intrigue and all that and trying to make sense of it and help Christians understand and see what's going. And we do have to be careful, don't we, that we remember that ultimately the most important thing is to point people to Christ, because without Christ, we labor in vain, don't we, without Christ? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We need to put Christ first and foremost, and then we can sit back and see the incredible things that God can accomplish through people who are willing to believe, have faith, and then willing to put feet to their faith and act on this. You know, if I woke up in the middle of the night with a dream to put a desire to put a major addition on the mall in Washington, D.C., I'd have probably rolled over and went back to sleep. Thank you that you got up and did something. But what is your website again? And also, what's your radio program? We got about 3 minutes to go here for the break.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. Yeah, so Tuesdays at 7 p.m. is News in Focus. We have different guests that come on. We'll be talking about religious liberty. We'll be talking about public policy at the State House, information that Christians need to know and be praying about and be talking to their representatives about. That's Tuesdays at 7 p.m., also Wednesdays at 1:30 in the afternoon, and again, Saturdays at 5. That's News in Focus right here on 1220. Also, the website is Ohio Christian Alliance. Just search that. And that's you could actually sign up for our email list. That's the best way we can communicate with you. And you'll be able to receive all the alerts that we send out and keep up with policy at the State House and other events that we're having. We have our Freedom Banquets. We always have some exciting speakers, and it's a great time for Christians to come together and be encouraged. And so those are generally in the Akron, Cleveland area. We have some in Columbus. All that's on our website at ohioca.org. Or just search Ohio Christian Alliance. Also, our phone number is 330-887-1922. And you could also call if you have questions there as well.
Well, Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance, I want to thank you for being on the program. I kind of look at some of the work that you're doing, like when we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, where it says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do." And I believe God's still raising up people like that today. I think you're one of them. And so I encourage people to pray for you. Check out ohioca.org for the information that is there. And Chris, thank you for staying up with us late on a Sunday night to share these things with our audience.
Thank you, Pastor. My privilege. God bless you, my friend.
And God bless. And I know we'll be hearing more from you in the future. And to our listeners, I want you to stay tuned. We've got another hour to go. We've got a break coming up here before the next hour starts. And just appreciate the work that's being done. As I said, one man had a vision. 11 years later, it come to fruition despite all the obstacles. And that's just in current times. But the Bible is full of people, individuals that believed God and were willing to step out, maybe at risk to themselves. But God blessed and used them to accomplish tremendous things. And he can use you too. Maybe it's not going to be something as big as putting something on the mall, but he can help you overcome obstacles in your life. Well, stay tuned. We've got another hour to go.